Hello friends, welcome to VSchool. We are on chapter 8, basics of options contract and options pricing. In the previous chapter we learnt basic concepts of derivatives and we understood two basic derivative contracts, that is futures and forwards. In this chapter we are going to understand the basics of options contract, and we will also understand the various options contract. The main objective of this chapter is to understand the basics of options contract as well as options price. Chapter 8 comprises of three main parts. First we will start with the evolution and see how the options contract have evolved over the period of time till the modern day options trading. Then we'll also get introduced to the basic concepts of options, options pricing, payoffs, option styles and option strategies. We will also know why options are getting popular with both farmers as well as investors. Any financial system, a financial product will get popularity, will get success only if it getting approval of a financial regulator. In our country also, SEBI is the financial regulator for the commodity markets. And recently, SEBI has given permission to the commodity exchanges for offering options trading in commodities with an intention for deepening the market. So this option contract trading is also getting some sort of encouragement by the regulator. And finally, in this chapter, we will summarize the basic differences between a forward contract as well as an options contract. Now let us see how the options contract were evolved. Options trading evolved over thousands of years. The first option was actually introduced in ancient Greece to speculate on the oil harvest. And who introduced this? This was introduced by Thales of Miletus in 332 BC. He bought the rights to buy olive prior to the harvest. He was having a sort of some intuition that the olive prices are going to rise. This particular instance is actually recorded in a famous book named Politics by the famous ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle. Now let us see what exactly happened when Thales introduced this options contract and created huge profits. Thales was a great astronomer, philosopher and mathematician. He predicted a huge olive harvest in the coming season. Since he was expecting a big rise in the prices of the olive oil, he entered into an agreement with the owner of the olive oil presses to use their mills for pressing the oil during the harvest. This particular intuition of Thales proved to be correct, and the demand as well as the price of the olive started rising, and this is how Thales made huge profits. These agreements can be easily considered as a modern day option contract, because what features we see in the modern day options contract are all seen into this particular transaction which Thales entered into with the owners of the olive presses. Thales had the right to either use the olive press himself when the harvest time came, or he could also sell that right to people who would pay more for those rights. So one important feature of a option contract is the person who actually buys the option contract has a right, but he is not under an obligation to buy. So this is what proved to be beneficial for. On the other side, the seller of the option contract also benefits because he gets sort of fee called as premium. The olive press owners turned the actually got the premium from the Thales. Olive press owners in turn were involved in a covered call option strategy. So we are also going to see different types of option strategies. In this particular transaction, it is a covered call option strategy. The olive press owners sold the rights to use the underlying asset, that is the olive presses, and earned the premium from Thales. The best part of it is not only the buyer of the option contract gains here, the seller of the option contract also gains. In this particular instance, the seller, that is the oil press owners, did not have any idea, did not have any knowledge about. In spite of that, they could actually get the premium, the fees from Thales for using their presses. These olive presses owner were not having the knowledge of Thales about a good harvest and demand for olive, but still they ensured that they would earn the premium from Thales irrespective of a good olive harvest happening or not. So in spite of whatever the harvest, they still made their gains by actually giving the rights of their oil presses to Thales. Now this whatever the concept of options was introduced by Thales became very popular, and similar concepts started making waves in the minds of the investors. One such type of option contract emerged in the 17th century in Holland, but whatever profits that were made by Thales and exactly opposite consequences happened to the investors in this particular type of transaction, the options contract type of transaction, which we call it as the tulip mania. The tulip mania wiped out the options speculators during the 17th century in Holland and put a sort of fear whether to invest into option contract or not. Let us see what exactly happened. In this particular type of options transaction, a sort of call options on tulip bulbs enabled producers to secure a definite buying price. We are going to see what exactly a call option is. When we talk about options, options can be further segregated into two types, the call option and the put option. For the time being, let us understand a sort of call option was introduced on the tulip bulbs, and this enabled the producers to secure a definite buying price. The tulip prices were skyrocketing due to this overwhelming demand from all levels of society. So everyone, most of the investors, had a belief in their mind that the call options of the tulip bulbs, the buying price of it will keep on rising and rising, and people were so crazy that they did not even mind taking loans or even mortgaging their houses to create money for buying the tulip bulb options, and this made the prices skyrocket. The prices went up and up. Many people even tried to earn profits through speculation through this type of call options. However, the entire bubble of price rise of tulip bulbs got burst in 1637 because there were very few buyers, the buyer's availability was reduced, and suddenly the prices also started going down and down. The price of tulip bulbs collapsed and most of the speculators had to suffer heavy losses, and this actually put in a very, very big fear into the minds of the investors whether to invest into options contract or not. So on one hand, we saw the popularity, the introduction made by Thales of the options contract. On the other side, this tulip mania totally wiped out the options speculators and put a sort of fear in the minds of investors into options contract. But this did not make the options contract totally out of the market, go out of the market. In spite of such a big impact due to the tulip mania, the options trading did not come to an end. Both the investors and financiers still believed into the speculative power in options trading. They wanted to remove the defects, and hence innovations were introduced to progress in the options trading. Finer types of options contract were introduced. As I said before, the two types of options contract, the call and the put options, were invented in London. However, the tulip mania was still going into the minds of the regulator, and due to the fear and the bad effects of the speculative nature of the options, options trading were declared illegal in 1733. The ban on options trading in London was removed after 100 years in 1860, and that again pumped in some life into options trading, and once again options trading started growing. This gave birth to the modern options trading. The modern options trading emerged through standardized commodity exchanges. Standard forms of options contract started to be created. The modern options trading through the standard exchange trading call options emerged in 1973, with the setting up of the Chicago Board of Options Exchange and the Options Clearing Corporation in 1973. When we talk about standardized exchange traded call options, there are some standard formats and there are specific rules by the exchange. So there, the chances of fraud, the chances of any such mishap is reduced to a larger extent. The put options were introduced by the CBOE in 1977, and with the success of the Chicago Board of Options Exchange, many other commodity exchanges got introduced, and the option trading started becoming more and popular across different geographic regions. The options trading methods were subsequently simplified with newer, better methods of pricing the options contract so that more and more people can participate into these types of option trading. Innovative and creative option trading strategies are helping investors to make risk-free profits. This risk-free profits is the best part of options trading, unlike some other type of investment. Now let us understand how whether options trading were introduced into India or not. Options trading were definitely existing in India. When we talk about India, options were initially traded in India on the OTC. Options were initially traded in the OTC market but were later banned under the Forward Contract Regulation Act 1952. When we talk about OTC market, these are specific forms. If we go on tracing history, we may find similar option like contracts existing in some other forms, but here we are specifically talking about some sort of regulated, some sort of mutually agreed terms forms of options trading. Options were initially traded on the OTC market, later banned by the Forward Contract Regulation Act in 1952. Securities Contract Regulation Act 1969 also banned trading in options on common stock, but later the prohibitions on options in securities were withdrawn because the regulators also felt that some relaxation was required because of the benefits, because of the popularity of option contract, and this brought in more popularity. Options trading is getting popular because of the minimal risk and the simplicity to trade. Options trading enables the trader to make profits irrespective of the market condition. So these two consequences of options trading are very, very important. The one is the minimal risk and simple to trade, and secondly, the possibility of making profits irrespective of the market conditions. Options trading can be initiated with a small amount, so this again is a big advantage for any sort of investors, but in spite of investing a small amount, the investor can get a larger exposure, so larger chances of making profit. In order to make this concept of options trading more popular, SEBI, our regulator of the commodities market, has also allowed commodity exchanges, and this has been done recently. SEBI has recently allowed commodity exchanges to offer options trading in commodities for deepening the market. We have options or derivatives product in India. When we say option is also a type of derivative contract. So if we look at in general the timeline of introduction of derivative products in India, India had the derivative products. Index futures were introduced in 2000, the stock futures in 2001, index options in 2001, stock options in 2001, interest rate futures in 2003, currency futures in 2008, bond futures in 2009, currency options in 2010. So various timelines products are introduced over a period of time. As far as the norms are concerned, the eligibility criteria for selection of underlying commodity futures for an option is: number one, underlying futures contract on the corresponding commodity shall be amongst the top five futures contract in terms of total trading turnover value of previous 12 months. The average daily turnover of underlying future contracts of the corresponding commodity during the future 12 months shall be at least INR 200 crore for agri and agri process commodities, INR 1000 crore for other commodities. Terms and conditions may vary from exchange to exchange. More details can be found from your textbook and the actual websites of the regulators. Having understood about the evolution, the development as well as the modern times options contract, now let us understand the basic concepts of an options contract. So the very first question comes, what is an options contract? An option contract is an agreement between two parties. We will see more and more about this in our subsequent slides. Now, one party is the buyer, whereas other is the seller. The buyer has the right but not an obligation. Now, this is a very important concept to be understood. The buyer, once he enters into an option contract, has right to buy, but he is not forced to buy. That means he is not having an obligation to buy. Whereas the seller of a particular asset, he sells at a specified price on or before a specified date. The seller is required to sell, whereas the buyer has a right but not an obligation. We'll see more and more details about this in our future slides. One important thing you should note is an option contract is quite different from a forward and a future contract. A forward and a future has a strong commitment to buy or sell. No one has a right to refuse. Whereas in case of an option contract, the buyer may exercise his right or even decline to exercise his right. So this is what the option contract gives, a more specific feature to the buyer. There is no obligation to buy or sell in case of an option contract. This is a unique feature of an option contract. Whatever trading is done in an option contract is based on the premium paid, whereas a trader has to maintain margin in case of forward and future. And when we talk about margin, his money has to be kept aside, his money has to be parked, whereas trading in option can be done simply on the basis of premium that is paid by the buyer to the seller. Now, we said option has two contracts. So who are these? The person who acquires the right is known as the option buyer or the option holder, and the person who confers the right is known as the option seller or an option writer. So this terminology you should get more and more familiar when we talk in terms of an options contract. The seller of the option contract, for giving such an option to the buyer, charges an amount. This is a fee or whatever you say in return for the right that he gives to the buyer. That is called as the option premium. So this is the compensation or profit that is made by the seller of an option contract. So this are the that are involved. Now let us understand this concept with the help of an example. Suppose a company wants to export wheat to France and requires 3 months' time. Hence, it purchases an option to buy wheat at a rate of rupees 50 per kg after 3 months, and for this he pays a small premium to a seller. Small premium means it is based on the agreement between the two parties. After 3 months, if the market at a time of export is better than rupees 50 per kg, then it has an option to discard the right to buy and lose only the premium paid to the seller, because he will get a better deal somewhere else. However, if the market rate moves against the contracted rate and rises to more than 50, then obviously the company will want to exercise this right to buy at rupees 50 per kg and can thus profit from the market rate above rupees 50 per kg. So this is the beauty. Either he has a right to exercise it or may even decline. A very, very well explained concept about an option contract. Now, when we said the buyer has a right and he is not obliged, however, in this type of an option contract, the agreement is such, the seller is obliged to sell. The seller doesn't have an option not to sell. The seller is obliged to sell at a contracted rate, irrespective of the market rate. And by considering this risk, he is willing to accept a premium for this deal. And this has to be noted very carefully. And because of this particular type of terms in an option contract, the seller may even have to face unlimited losses, and for this he gets only a maximum possible profit equal to what the premium he gets from the buyer. So this is very well understood by both the buyer and the seller of an option contract. Now let us see this. What does the buyer lose if at all he decides to decline or not exercise the contract? The buyer loses only the premium in case he does not want to exercise his right to buy. However, the buyer has no obligation to buy, which means he is not forced to buy. Buying an option protects the buyer from the dip in price on a future date, But if there is an upside in the price, the buyer can force a trade on the seller. This we clearly saw in our example. So, now let us see a variant of a option contract. We have seen options can be classified into two types, a call option and a put option. Let us first see what is a call option. The call option gives the buyer the right but not an obligation for a limited period to buy. So note very carefully, when it comes to call option, it is a right to buy, or in terms of when we talk about buying, we talk in terms of longing or long the underlying futures contract at a predetermined price. When the buyer decides to execute the option, the exchange registers a long position. So this terminology, again, one has to be familiar. Whenever it's a buy, we call it as a long position for the holder and short position for the seller, because the seller is selling, he is considered to be doing a short position at the exchange. The difference between the current market price and the strike price is debited. Strike price is the price which is agreed to between both the parties. So the difference between the current market price and the strike price is debited from the writer's account, that is a seller's account, and credited to the holder's account, that is a buyer's account. Since both the positions are carried forward as futures position, the contract can go, and that is the beauty of the options. Let us understand this with an example. A trader buys one call option on soybean futures at a premium of rupees 30 per contract on 31st July at a strike price of rupees 600, and the option matures on 30th September 2019. The trader will lose only the premium amount in any worst situation of spot being less than the strike price. Here when we talk about a spot, this is called as the current market price. However, the same trader can book unlimited gains for every upside in the spot price or the strike price after the break-even point. Now, if we have to write an equation about this payoff of the buyer, in specifically in case of a call option, then we can say the maximum is the strike minus the exercise price after adjusting the call premium. This we will actually see with an example in a tabular form. Here, maximum is the S minus E, the difference. S is the spot price and E is the exercise price. Now, we can better understand the payoff from call buying by this table that is seen on the slide. We have various columns here, the spot price, the strike price, the premium that is paid, the payoff, that is the profit that he makes, and based on adjusting all the cost, whatever is the net profit that he gets. So suppose the spot price is 590, the strike price is 600, the premium itself is added, and the payoff is nothing, but he has whatever he has paid is not yet recovered. Now suppose the spot price is 600, it rises from 590 to 600, the strike price is also 600, but still the premium is not yet recovered, so there is still a net profit loss of minus 30. Now the spot price goes beyond 600, that is 610. Now note here what happens. The payoff is 10 because the profit that is between the spot price and the strike price, some part of it is recovered of from the premium that is paid. So now the loss that is remaining is only 20. Then when it further increases to 620, the loss becomes only 10 rupees. And when it is 630, the entire premium that is paid is wiped off in the form of payoff. There is no profit, no loss, and then almost the profit starts increasing. So from 640 onwards, the first profit, the net profit is booked, and this is how the payoff can be worked out based on your spot, the strike, and the premium that is paid. So the options payoff matrix is always of a non-linear or asymmetrical. When we say non-symmetric, asymmetrical, or non-linear, it is not uniform. The losses and profit for the buyer and seller does not follow a straight line. One party to the contract can unlimited upside, while the limiting its downside to the option premium, whereas the other party, that is option seller, can have unlimited losses for a limited upside, that is option premium. So the buyer can have unlimited upside and limiting his downside only to the option premium that is paid. The seller may have an unlimited loss with a limited upside, that is what the premium he paid. But both work on their own belief system, and that is how the contract gets executed. Now let us look at a put option. A put option gives the buyer a right but not an obligation to sell. So if it's a call, is an option to buy, a put is an option to sell the underlying futures contract at a predetermined price and the strike price, both being the same. Here the right is to sell, whereas in the call the right is to buy. When the holder decides to execute the option, the exchange registers a long position. So in case of a call option, we have seen when the call, both the put and the both the long and the short. Here when the holder decides to execute option, the exchange registers a long position for the writer of the option and the short position for the holder of the option of the current market price. The difference between the strike price and the market price is debited to writer's account and credited to the holder's account. Since then, the positions are carried forward as the futures position. Let us see this also with an example. A trader buys one put option on soybean futures at a premium of rupees 30 as per the per contract on 31st July at a strike price of 600, and the option matures on 30th September. The trader will lose only the premium amount in any worst situation of spot being more than the strike price. However, the same trader can book unlimited gains for every downside in the spot price or the strike price after the break-even point. Again, we have a table to explain the payoff, a spot price, strike price, premium payoff, and the net profit. When the spot price is 540, strike price is 600, premium is 30, the payoff is 60, and the net profit is 30. And likewise, if we look beyond 570, that is no profit, no loss, the losses starts being booked as the spot increases further and further. So if you have to have a put payoff matrix, the put payoff option for the seller will be maximum of E minus S after adjusting the call option premium. S is the spot price, E is the exercise price. So friends, now once we have understood the option contract and the different types of options contract, that is the call and put, we need to also understand that this options trading in the standardized form can be done at the exchanges and in the bilateral form, that is the mutually agreed way over the counter. So options are traded both on the commodity exchanges as well as the over the counter market. During 2018-19 MCX, we have seen different types of commodity exchanges. In India, MCX has the largest turnover on options trading amongst all commodity exchanges in India during 2018-19. Now, having understood about the evolution of options contract, the concepts of options contract, let us understand the options terminology, the option styles, the option types, as well as the different strategies of an options contract. First, the options terminology, which will be very helpful for you when you actually deal with the options contract. The very first, the options premium. We have seen the price that is paid by the option buyer to the option seller is called as the option premium. We have also seen the strike price and the exercise price. This is the price decided mutually between the option buyer and seller, based on which the option buyer becomes eligible to buy or sell the underlying assets. So this is the price that is determined mutually between the buyer and seller, the basis of the options contract. There is an expiry date for an option contract. This is a maturity date or the last date on which the options can be exercised or lapsed. Then we don't buy options in terms of single numbers. It is done in terms of the lot size. So lot size is the number of units of underlying the assets in a contract. So this is a methodology in dealing in options contract. There is a terminology called open interest. An open interest is the total number of option contracts outstanding for an underlying assets, and this includes both the long positions as well as the short positions. So the number of long positions as well as the short position is equal to the open interest. This helps us to know the total turnover of the option contract in that commodity. Now there are three specific terms relating with how the cash flow is generated, especially with an options contract. So we can categorize this into three types: in the money option, out of money option, and at the money option. In the money option, enables the investor to sell or exercise it for profit. It would lead to a positive cash flow to the holder if it were exercised immediately. In case of out of money option, the stock or the index is in loss in the form of a premium paid to buy the option. In out of money option, it would lead to a negative cash flow if it were exercised immediately. Whereas in case of at the money option, the option strike price is identical to the price of underlying security and there is no scope to earn profit. At the money option would lead to a zero cash flow if it were exercised immediately. So these are specifically three terminologies specifically dealing with the scenario of a positive cash flow, a negative cash flow, or a zero cash flow. Now there can be different types of option styles. When we are talking about different type of option styles, these are across the globe and only one or two are actually implicated or implied or implemented in any specific country. So let us see what are the different types of option styles. The first one is the European option contract. You have to specifically note what is a specific feature. When we talk about European option contract, if the option was to be exercised on a specific date, that is 1 month down the line, such type of options contract are called as European option contract. Exactly opposite to the European option contract is the American option contract. If the option could be exercised anytime up to a expiry of the contract period, such type of options are known as American option contract. So European option contract can be exercised on a specific date, whereas American option contract can be exercised anytime up to the expiry of the contract period. Then we have different variations in the form of Bermudan option contract. This type of option can be exercised only on predecided dates and they are a combination of American and European. So it's very easy to understand. They are exercised at the date of expiration and on specified dates that occur between the purchase date and the date of expiration. Asian option contract is an option whose payoff is determined by the average underlying price over some preset time period. Now let us look at the pricing of options. The option pricing is based on two basic concepts, the intrinsic value and the time value. If we have to make an equation of an option pricing, it is a combination of intrinsic value and time value. Now let us understand what is an intrinsic value and what is a time value. Intrinsic value of an option at a given point of time is the amount the holder of the option will get if he exercises the option at that time. Whereas the time value of the option is the difference between the premium and its intrinsic value. So both call and put have the time value. The longer the time of the expiry option, the higher is your probability of its profitability and hence more premium is demanded by the seller as the risk is high. So this is how the premium is actually determined. There is a proper calculation for both the intrinsic value as well as the time. Let us understand the option pricing with an example. A call option will have an intrinsic value if the strike price is below the future price. For example, if a call option has a strike price of rupees 50 and the underlying future price is rupees 60, then the call option will have an intrinsic value of rupees 10. A put option will have an intrinsic value of its strike price if its strike price is above the future price. For example, if a call put option has strike price of rupees 60 and the underlying future price is rupees 50, then the put option will have an intrinsic value of rupees 10. Having understood this basic concept of option pricing, there are some standardized model relating with this type of option pricing. The three amongst them most popular across the globe are the Black-Scholes model, the binomial option pricing model, and the Black 76 model. Let us look at this. The Black-Scholes model helps you to calculate a large number of options pricing in a short time. Whereas the binomial option pricing model, in case of this, the Black-Scholes model cannot be applied to American style option. The binomial models can be applied to early exercise and hence can be used for American style options also. The Black 76 model is the most popular model to price a commodity options on the future. Now, what are the factors that are influencing the options pricing? This is specifically in terms of the Black 76 model. we say factors, the underlying price, the time until expiration, the volatility, the interest rates, and the strike price. We see how the factors are influencing the increase or decrease. So basis of this, the prices will either increase, it is in terms of both the call prices as well as the put prices. So this table can be easily referred by you while you actually understand the factors influencing the options pricing, more specifically from the Black 76 model. Now let us understand what are the different types of option strategies. When we say option strategies, this can be combining of the four basic kinds of option trades. And how do we combine with what parameters? These parameters can be with different exercising, different prices, different maturities, and you can long it as well as short it. So let us briefly look at it. And any trader can, on the basis of his plan, the trading plan, can use the different types of option strategies. So a butterfly spread will have long 1x1 call, short 2x2 call, and long 1x3 call. This allows a trader to profit if the commodity price on the expiration date is near the middle exercise price x2 and does not expose the trader to a large loss. In case of an iron condor, it is similar to a butterfly spread but with different strike price for the short options. In case of a straddle, selling both a put and a call at the same x price would give a trader a greater profit than a butterfly if the final commodity price is near the exercise price. In case of a strangle, it is similar to a straddle as it is also constructed by a call and a put but with different strikes. In case of a covered call, the trader buys a commodity or holds a previously purchased long commodity position and sells a call if a commodity price rises above the exercise price. In case of protective put, a trader buys a commodity or holds a previously purchased long commodity position and buys a put. We are going to see more details about this in our next chapter. Now let us look at the various forms of the options payoff matrix. They are basically four: the long call, the long put, the short call, and the short put. In case of a long call, a trader who expects a agri commodity price to increase can buy a call option to purchase the agri commodity fixed price at a later date rather than purchase the agri commodity outright. Profit is made if the spot price exceeds the strike price. In case of a long put, a trader who expects a commodity price to decrease can buy a put option to sell the agri commodity fixed price at a later date. In case of a short call, a trader who expects the agri commodity price to decrease can short or instead sell or write a call. In case of a short put, a trader who expects an agri commodity price to increase can buy the agri commodity or instead sell or write a put. Now let us understand what are the different factors influencing the agri commodities. It can be area under cultivation, it can be the crop size and the yield per hectare, it can be the monsoons, it can be seasonality of commodity, it can be demand and supply of imbalances, the pests and diseases, the government policies, the global market and pricing, weather condition and production, modern technology used in the farming, the prices of substitutes, excess or deficit of rainfall, and adversely affects the yield. In short, anything that a buyer and seller is interested is in the type of commodity, the quality of the commodity, the quantity of the commodity, how good are they, whether it is durable, whether they are infected with disease, how the government is encouraging the production of those commodities, the technology that is used for marketing it, the prices of the substitutes, if any other product is available which can reduce the value of existing commodity. All these factors can influence the underlying or the prices of the agri commodities, and this is the basis on which both the buyer and seller decide to enter into an options contract or any of the call or the put. Now what are the reasons for options gaining popularity? We have seen options have a very, very unique feature. It gives a right to buy but doesn't have an obligation. Let us see, besides this, what are the other factors that are responsible for the options gaining more popularity. The first one is flexibility. Options contract help to earn profits or manage risk based on the choice of the contracting parties. Secondly, it has less dependency on the market condition to earn profit as options can enable the trader to earn profits even in the market volatility. The third one is the price protection without limit, prohibiting the profit potential. Traders or buyers of agri commodities can obtain the protection against the increasing prices and still benefit from the price fall. The fourth one is the liquidity due to a large number of participants. Buyer can easily find a seller on the exchange, thus making the option more liquid in nature. Next one is minimal risk, as the option buyer will only lose the premium in case he decides not to exercise his right to buy. The sixth one is the trading on exchange with standard specification, the counterparty guarantee and transparency. All these concepts we have already seen in our chapters related to exchanges. Commodity options can be used as risk management tools by small farmers, traders, as the options contract can serve and price insurance buyer for the hedgers by paying a one-time option premium without requirement for margins. So these are the main reasons for the options gaining popularity, and these are going to increase more and more as the concept gets popular more and more. Now, how is an option used by the farmers, by the investors, by the processors, by the farms, by the manufacturers? Farmers can lock a desirable selling price for the farm produce. The minimum support price scheme ensures a predecided price for the farm produce from the government. However, an option contract can also be tested for getting a better price over the minimum support price. Investors in agri commodity can use the option strategies to buy or sell agri commodities in volatile markets. A call option can give unlimited profits if the spot price is more than the strike price. Agri commodity processors can also use option strategies to better manage their raw materials positions in order to increase the profitability. A call option can lock the input price of the raw material. Cattle farms can also be used can also use option strategies to protect themselves against the rising cost of the agri feeds provided to the cattle. Agri food manufacturers, the millers and other agri businesses depending upon the agri commodities can also protect themselves by maintaining an adequate inventory through the option strategy. We conclude our chapter 8. Thank you.